Council meeting for Tuesday, May 28th, 2019 is hereby called to order. It's 9 a.m. I would like to welcome everyone here this morning. I would ask that you please turn your electronic devices on silent mode if you have some with you today. We will have an audit committee at 1:30 this afternoon. If necessary, we will recess for that committee meeting. Today, you have the agenda as was circulated. I'd like to add 9.2 today. 9.2 under corporate services is a D-Day flyby at Caledonia. D-Day flyby at Caledonia, 9.2. Are there any other omissions or changes or alterations to the agenda as circulated? A motion to approve the agenda as amended and circulated. Moved by Councilor Fisk, second by Councilor Frehley. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Will be unanimous. Thank you. Under 3.0 presentations, we have 3.1 today, Privateer Days Festival, and I would ask Catherine Croft and any of the supporters to come forward to the presentation desk if you would like.
Sore gets in the way.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, council members.
Good morning.
How are you all? For those who may not know me, my name is Catherine Croft, Chair of Privateer Days Committee, and please allow me to introduce my fellow committee members in attendance this morning. My Vice Chair, Jessica Van Dyne Evans, her lovely daughter, who I would be lost without, Rosie Evans. Of course, they are dressed in their colonial garb for this morning. As you are all no doubt aware, Privateer Days is a calling card for our town, county and community as large. As much a herald of summer as the last day of school, Privateer Days has always been a red circle in our calendars and the springboard to vacation season. Last winter, when I became aware of the current position being vacated, I was moved to step in of the role because I was concerned that, without a committee in place, this great annual tradition would end. Like all of us, I've seen a great deal of Queens County community heritage slip away in the recent years, with local schools, fire departments, and of course businesses have closed their doors never to reopen. Fortunately, a number of like-minded volunteers also stepped forward to join me in organizing this year's festival to ensure that our tradition will continue. As it turned out, tradition is, in fact, what this year's festival is about. When I first stepped into this role, I felt it important to speak to community members and find out what Privateer Days meant to them. I wanted everyone to know that since the festival is for them and their ideas and opinions mattered as much or even more so than our own committee. What I discovered in those early conversations was that there was an overwhelming majority seemed to miss what Privateer Days used to be. They meant it sincerely, innocently, and made all of us realize that we missed it too. There is not a resistance to being progressive or reluctance to accept change. It is merely that in our memories, Privateer Day is a fun-filled, carefree beginning to summer. And most folks wanted the festival to be that as it, they remembered it. And so in recreating the experience became our mandate. As folks asked us to bring back the classics, we were excited to welcome back festival favorites such as the bed races, soapbox derbies, car show, things like pie eating contests and fishing derbies. These and many other fan favorites are coming back as you'll see in our schedule. These are some of our rack cars that as of yesterday finally got to the Vic in Liverpool and they'll be going out to other ones as well. Another reoccurring theme to those early conversations was a feeling that Privateer Days had estranged the young adults, Many felt that they were too old for the bouncy castles and too young to drink. There is little or nothing scheduled for them in mind. We, as a committee, asked what they would like to see available and brought out several exciting new entertainment options, such as our 10-game arcade with Halifax virtual reality coming, tabletop gaming, of course, luckily, at our historic Astor Theater. We also, of course, have many other things, such as 3-on-3 basketball tournaments, our laser tag, and more. Just as we step back into our happy memories of the festival, we have to offer the same opportunity for others to create their own. Personally, my fondest Privateer Days memory will most certainly be my year as chairperson, since this bringing the last festival to life has been challenging and a rewarding experience. Unfortunately, however, due to my family commitments, I won't be able to continue the festival in the current capacity. I hope to work with whoever succeeds me and assist in the 2020 organizing, although in a much more reduced role. However, that's the future right now. I invite you all to join me and my fellow organizers in stepping back into this year's festival. It's shaping up to be one of the biggest and best yet, with a little bit of something for everyone. Together we continue to keep this grand local tradition not only alive but growing. Many Privateer Days will celebrate history, but never fade into it. I thank you very much. And I take any questions.
Yes. Would any council have a comment or a question that you want to ask? Councilor Fancy.
You knew I'd say something.
A little bit, yeah.
I really appreciate you sort of stepping up. I mean, you're going to bring back some of the old things, which is it's going to be interesting to see how all the responses is and everything along with it. One thing I wanted to ask was the fishing derby.
Yes.
That fishing derby, is that, did I hear right that it was going to be over in
Pine Grove.
My
idea was that I love all of Liverpool. I live here. Well, I don't live here. I live in the village. But I love all of it, and I wanted some of our guests and patrons of the festival to enjoy all the wonderful things that we have. I had talked to a lot of business people. Mr. McPherson, of course, came in, and he was right. After the bridge, there was really nothing going on. So with his help, I've started pairing people up with non-for-profits. So Horace got paired up with, of course, you know, Peter Lavender. Peter Lavender, of course, and the Guides Association, and then was able to procure fish from the McGowan's Fish Hatchery, and they will be delivered. We're not allowed to tell when, because I guess if we tell people when it's going to happen, they're going to go and fish early. So, and no, the guys then are also on Saturday, because we do want the history of fishing to continue, especially for our area. They're doing casting lessons all afternoon for kids, for people who want to learn how to fish, learn how to tie a knot on the end of a hook, that type of thing. So it was a lot of non-for-profits coming out and showing what they do too. And all these community groups have been, I'll be honest, I'm overwhelmed at how many people love Privateer Days. It's not just us, it's the entire town. And now they feel like they want to include themselves. So one of the things that I was really excited for was we were able to get Queens County Transit. So during the weekend, they'll be making trips to the senior complexes to bring our seniors down to the shows, to be able to give drives to people that have low mobility because they are a handicapped van, so they can get to the Fisherama. I'm still looking to get into, of course, having things going on at Brooklyn Marina, the things that we used to do, so it's more of a town celebration than just singular. And that's my goal for that.
So the fishing derby will be on Saturday?
Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon. It's the only day I could get fish.
So will that carry over to Saturday?
If somebody wants to go, if we put 15 and under, because we didn't know anyone, right. Of course, 16, you have to have a fishing license. They are going to have some fishing licenses for sale there as well, so with the Guides Association.
Because I know a couple of people that already asked me and said, I'm off Saturday, and
after
I take my kids there.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll still be.
I would imagine there's still fish, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Quite a lot of brown trout are going in.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Councilor McLeod?
Catherine, I like your energy. I know
Thank you. It's running down slowly.
Being involved in Privateer Day way back when it started, actually it started as Pioneer Days and then developed into our heritage with privateering and that sort of thing. Over the years, it has changed its style, it's changed its focus, it's had different people involved as chair people, and with Brian to my right, as you know, has done a fabulous job, put a lot of energy.
Totally.
And every leader has a different style, you know, and what your style may work and will probably work, Brian's style work, all the organizers in the past has worked. I know the town of Liverpool, when there wasn't a chairperson years ago, did actually sponsored and organized Privateer Days for 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, it's developed into that, and there's some, today's preference for festivals is very unique, and it changes over the years. I think your idea, you've got involvement from the museum this year, bringing back the history.
Yes.
More involvement from Queens County Museum. So
yes.
You've got a little bit of the history. You have some fun things with the bed races, which
yes.
brings all the young people involved and actually and being involved and not just going to the bounces and that sort of thing.
That's the thing, yeah.
So you're incorporating all levels of our, you know, demographics and community. So something for everyone is great to have, and I commend you for that. And I'm sorry to hear that you won't be involved as a leader next year, but I'm sure you'll set
yes.
the tone for others to do. But I appreciate and thank you very much for stepping up to the plate, because it takes a pretty special person, and I, you know, to have their time, their personal time devoted, as all of us can say.
Oh, they're big shoes to fill, so it was really hard. What I wanted was, I didn't essentially, and I've told Brian this a couple times, he's done amazing. This is not an easy job, and by no means was this simple. Having only 6 months to plan it and design it has been full time, on the go.
And the
but it's so, and but it, that's the thing. I'll be happy, I think, most when I see happy kids. Having the kids in the Astro Theater again to, yes, they're all arcades, but it gives them a place also to hang out. As we're going to have a little cafe downstairs.
Nice.
It was the pictures that I had seen from Queens County Museum. The streets were filled with people, and I wanted it to come again. And thinking of ways of bringing that attention to Main Street was one of my biggest priorities, was that people would tell me that they wouldn't be open, that they would just close for that weekend when it should be their best weekend financially. So then it was my ideas to, let's get attention back to the Main Street, and with hopes of road closures, and not so many, maybe. We actually, I'm looking forward to, I think, Merchants Day most of all, as to see pie eating contests again, carry your wife contests again. The fun, the laughter, the streets filled, that's what I hope to get out of this. Like I said, I have been graced with an amazing board who we're all on the same page, which is work our butts off and hope that everybody likes the show. So I just thank you for the opportunity to have this actual position. And I thank Brian, of course, because you've made it very easy to walk into this little spot. I am here. Not that I'm very good at it, but I'm learning. Any more questions?
Yes, I have Councillor Johnson.
Well, Councillor, all I can say is thank you for stepping up for a volunteer. Getting volunteers is not an easy job. And usually what I call the SDP club, the same 10 people do the same stuff over and over again. And kudos to you and your committee for pulling this off, because like you said, it is a cornerstone to the activity for the summer. A couple of questions. First of all, when you talk about Queens County Transit, are they also available to bring people in from North Queens?
Yes, that's what we're arranging, yes.
Oh, excellent.
That was, I think the best part about it was to get more of our own citizens to the show, whether mobility or whatever we can have to break to get them here. I think our own people need to see our show too, let alone, of course, our tourists and people out of town. It's great, but the seniors, we're about tradition here in Liverpool. I don't want to change that. I actually want to keep our traditions.
So. No, and also if you had your rec cards with you today, I can see that they get delivered to the VIC.
In Liverpool?
In North Queen?
They're there.
They're there already?
Yes, yes, sir. I was there, yes. Well, I actually had people drop them off yesterday, and then I was at the Liverpool Vic yesterday, and Privateer Days was first to have the rack up, so I was happy. So.
Yeah. And I know that the folks out there participate heavily in the multicultural church service, mm-hmm. and getting some of the seniors in for that would be key. So, excellent, good job.
Thank you very much.
Any other counselor have a comment or a question? Counselor Danson?
I always have to have follow-up.
Yep.
What you're doing in particular, the few things that we could go on and on about all the things you were doing, but what you're trying to do is bring in the children.
Yes.
Which is a good thing, because after a period of time that when we lost the, because it cost too much to bring in all the rides and things, mm-hmm. and it kind of gone away there a little bit, so trying to bring them back in. And then to try to reach out to North Queens. We so many times do things and we forget about all of our county.
Yes.
And bringing that back in, because it used to be years ago that the schools would be shut down in the afternoon for the parade up in Caledonia, because mm-hmm. you could go up there because we were a county.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But and we've kind of gone away from that. So we've lost that. They don't shut down schools to go up there to be part of, because we become a divide in that way. So all these things that we can be able to show that we still are
a community
is a great thing.
That was my agenda, was mostly for, as we're a non-for-profit, I wanted to work with other non-for-profits to get them involved, and pairing them up with local businesses have helped immensely. As you know, the 3-on-3 will be, of course, from Liverpool Regional, Gary Faber. And of course, all the kids are participating. The arcade was, I have teenagers and they are nothing to do, so Mom, what are you going to make for us? So it was a lot of teenagers that would come to me, and when I had given them a place that I can get, the town hall, having the old retro tabletop gaming, having the old arcades, Halifax virtual reality room coming down, gives them a place that they can hang out. Of course, we have security there the entire weekend, and of course volunteers to staff all the rooms, but it was a place that they have now and they're excited for that. So trying to work with essentially the non-for-profits, the community, the business, to make it their show. This belongs to you guys. I'm just doing what I'm told. So hopefully it'll, like I said, how many days am I in now? I'm about 26 days away. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I don't drink yet. So Brian's going to show me how after.
Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you very much, Catherine and Jessica and mm-hmm. Rosie. Appreciate it very much. And excellent presentation.
Thank you so much.
See you all at Privateer Day.
Yes. Yes. I'll be there.
Moving along in the agenda, 4.0 is tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions.
I don't know if it's the first petition, but I have an issue I'd like to bring before the end.
That would be under public comments, which would be next. So we have no petitions today. Moving on to 5.0, public question comment session. This is a time in the agenda where members of the gallery are able to speak for up to 5 minutes. Please state your name and address.
Leon Robertson, College Street, Liverpool. Yes, very good presentation here. We had the same presentation at once, but here a few weeks ago, and they're very energetic. It sounds like they're going to have a few Mondays. Anyway, my question, Mr. Mayor, the current bus bill that we had here back in February was, I was wondering if there's any accounting of the money they got. I know the local economy did very well, and how do we fare with the French principles as far as the financials are
concerned? The financials and the impacts, as I understand, are still being completed. It's falling to the host committee and I'm expecting that we'll have that information soon. So we'll hear about it later on.
Okay, Dean Mondeer, if I could. Dean, I see you have the lease renewal for the library, not for a 5-year period, and my understanding is $65,000 a year for 5 years, and the other $80,000 will go towards the library board, which is what we provide here, is that correct?
As it has been in the past.
Right, and the lease includes they provide that the lights and everything is provided under that.
Yes, there is a sharing agreement on some expenses, of course, for the usage of the library space.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention, if I could, is the item number 11.2, the North Queens Medical Center. I see that's on the agenda. At the last meeting, there was no approval of the request. The request now is $35,000. I look at that as a very essential service out there. In the past few years, they've lost their local bank over there, they lost gas service over there. I remember back in the early 70s, I was a bank manager over there. It's a very nice, tight-knit community, and they do a lot of work, a lot of volunteer work and so on. And I would suggest, Mr. Mayor, that when you're discussing this morning, you look at that in a positive way and see if you could provide some funds there. Now, I know they have money in the bank there a bit, but the projected deficit of $80,000 only leaves them about $60,000, and if we do go like that, they'll be able to do this. So please give it favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Okay. I have the gentleman behind you, if you don't mind.
Lance Benson, 391 West Street in Milton. My wife, Dee Parsons, and I purchased a little house that needed repairs at 642 Main Street. My issue is about the house next to it, 636 Main Street, which has an addition which is apparently never permitted and not completed. The roof has partially caved in and it's collecting water. My wife and I brought this to the attention of the bylaw enforcement officer many times, beginning my wife's email in August of 2017, and nothing, she was told that there was a process, nothing has been done. I myself have spoken to Ms. Hurley a number of times and been told twice that the matter would be taken to the next council meeting. Apparently hasn't. Most recently on October 16th of this year, and she told me to go to council on October 23rd. I called her on the 24th and left a message, asked her to call me back, never received a return call. Called again on the 29th and didn't hear back. On May 7th, I went to the office and she wasn't in. The receptionist said she would take a message and call me back, but I haven't heard anything. So I don't understand why the regulations requiring building permits and bylaws regarding maintenance of property have not been enforced for this property. It's disgraceful and unsafe, and the unpermitted, illegal, and collapsing addition should be torn down. I don't know whether the remainder of the structure is in a similar condition, but it should be looked into. I have photographs here I can provide.
Well, I'm certainly unaware of all the details of the issue. It's the first I'm hearing of it today, but if you would like to leave it with me, if you provide me with your telephone number, I'll do a follow-up with our bylaw officer and staff and respond back to you.
Okay, my phone number is on the paper here. I got that.
Okay.
and law enforcement officer, there's not a lot of detail in the email about this.
I do appreciate this, and certainly we'll do an internal follow-up, and we'll be back to you in 2 weeks for sure.
Thank you.
My name is Peter Worthy, and I live at 157 Freeman Lake Lane, which is in Albany, New. And I'm the chair for the North Queens Medical Center Association, and I'm thankful to be able to be here this morning and for you to give ear to our call. So first, I'd like to apologize to Chris. He was very good to us. We were able to get things in, but I didn't realize, being new at this, that I should have put a monetary amount in the cover letter on what we were doing. So my friend Leon here is perfectly correct. We're looking for $35,000 if it's possible. We're in the process of doing a project of resurfacing the pavement at the medical center in the parking lot. We need to move the planters that are in the center of it and replace them because they get in the way and people like myself back into them and knock them over and whatnot. So there's a fair amount of work to be done. The group that I work with are absolutely wonderful people. We will all don on our duds and go and pull apart the existing gardens that are in the center of the driveway and put them in a different spot where they won't be so easy to back into. And I would just like to say that, as with the people who were here for private 2 days, this, our group is a voluntary group. And it is hard to get volunteers to help. People are busy and they have their own lives and everybody's on the road all the time now. If we're going ahead with the project, and if we do, as I said, we will be at an $80,000 deficit this year. It will not leave us with $65,000, it will leave us with more like maybe $30,000 if we're lucky. If the heat pumps go at the medical center, we will have to close that. We won't have the money to replace them. So it's really important that this issue be thought out quite clearly. And we continue to do fundraising, but you can understand that $70,000 is a lot of jars of jam and a lot of standing and shaking hands and thanking people. The people of Queens County are excellent to us. Make no mistake about that. We've received money from lots of people, and we have a fundraising committee, and they get on the bandwagon as soon as we're doing something. So I would ask you to really, really think hard when you're considering this issue. It's very important. We serve a lot of people in Queens County, not only North Queens, but some from South Queens and West Queens. We serve people who come up from Annapolis County, from Kings County, from Lunenburg County, and we have some people who still come in from Halifax to the medical center because of the shortage of doctors, family doctors in the valley. So please give it good consideration, and thank you very much for taking the time to do that. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today?
I'd like to say one other thing.
Yes.
We are very blessed to have Gil as our counselor. He's a good man, and he works hard on behalf of Queens County and on behalf of the North Queens. Thank you, Gil.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak? Okay. Thank you, and we are moving on to 6.0, approval of minutes. For the minutes of council meeting May 14th, 2019, are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as previously circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes of circulating would be in order. Councilor Johnson moves, seconded by Deputy Mayor Kelly. Are there any discussion or questions on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Those opposed? Those abstaining?
How can I vote for something I wasn't here?
Then you can abstain. Yeah. But that's fine. You weren't here. I understand that. Yeah. It is passed. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, we have 7.1, 634 Medley River Road, Charleston. And I ask our bylaw officer, Kelly Ann Hurley, to come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are we going to read the particulars or just?
We are going to have you provide us some advice on this issue first in light of what I understand has transpired.
Which one are we referring to? The one on the agenda?
634 Medway River Road.
Okay.
The only item on the agenda today.
634 Medway River Road, Charleston. As of yesterday.
Just one moment. If you would, we have some developments on this issue that have transpired since the agenda came out.
Thank you.
So Kellyanne is going to give us a very quick briefing on this.
634 Medway River Road, Charleston, Queens County, Nova Scotia, PID number 701065-70. We've since, as of yesterday, received full compliance in regard to my conversation with the property owner. All has been completed as per my request. So there will be no more further action on this file, and I will close the file.
Any questions on this issue of council at this moment? Because it is resolved, there's no need to bring it forward to council for a formal motion.
Excellent.
Well done. Oh, geez, thanks.
Thank you, Kellyanne.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, and it is good news that we have some funds.
Some good news, anyway. All the best.
Thank you. Under 8.0 economic development, we have something to bring forward today. Under 9.0 corporate services, we have 9.1 extension of lease for Thomas H. Vidal Library. Who would like to take the lead on 9.1? Councilor Farrell?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the extension of the lease with Heinz Pro Guide Limited for January 1st, 2020 until December 31st, 2024. For space housing Thomas H. Vidal Library, and that the Mayor and Chief Administrative Officer be authorized to execute the lease on Council's behalf.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Fisk? CAO, would you like to give us a brief update on this issue?
Reporting your package, the current lease we entered into was for 18 months. Last year, which expires in December of 2019. We've provision the current lease that in order to extend the lease, we have to give 6 months notice, or to terminate the lease, we have to give 6 months notice, which means the notice has to give in June of this year. And therefore, with no immediate plans for a new location for a library in the near future, the proposal is that we continue the lease for a 5 year period. And there is a provision in there that for some reason, if we decide to change our alternate plans in the future, there is a provision that we can terminate the lease with 6 months notice. And if we were to do something different with the library in the future, it would take us probably at least a year to put stuff together anyway, so it would be no issue to give 6 months notice.
Any questions or comments on this issue, councilors? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Is there any financial penalty for if we give 6 months notice to coming out of the lease? Financial.
Any other questions or comments of councilors? Are we ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Raise your hands. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is 9.2, a D-Day flyby. As you are all aware, on the weekend I circulated a copy of a memo we received from Julie Ramey of North Queens Community School regarding an event that the students and the school were looking to complete on D-Day. They've been working on a project to replace the flagpole at the Caledonia Sunpath and raise a flag during the D-Day ceremony on June the 6th. And these types of initiatives are certainly deserving of being embraced. I provided you with a copy of Julie's recent email asking for a Region of Queens support letter to be sent to the Canadian Air Division headquarters to have a low flyby occur during that ceremony, as well as a draft copy of the proposed support letter. Normal practice is to provide a region support letter to accompany a grant application or other similar request, which is endorsed by the mayor without a requirement to come before council. This request to the Royal Canadian Air Force for a flyby to occur over Caledonia during the D-Day ceremony should have a council discussion, as it is a more formal request. A formal motion is not required, and unless there are objections from council members, I would please sign the support letter. So I wanted to bring it. We can have a discussion. I think it's a great project, and who would like to speak or comment on this? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no problem whatsoever. Could you just explain a little bit of background behind why they have to come to the region in the first place?
Because the Royal Canadian Air Force will not fly by unless they have the council or mayor's letter requesting so.
So it's the Air Force policy to make sure that they have permission from the municipality that's involved before they fly over them.
A request.
Yeah. Right. So does that mean that the municipality doesn't infer that the municipality in any way has control over the air above us, the skies above us, does it?
No, but they will not put together a crew and an airplane and come to an event without that request. Any other councilor? Okay. So I think we're all in acceptance that this is a great effort. It's a great project for the school students. Councilor Johnson?
Just that I know the sensitivity of the time of this. Is that something that if you can hit a button while we're all sitting in here and Greenwood will get that letter immediately? Because I know they were looking for it first thing yesterday morning. So.
Yeah, certainly we can. So, having the discussion and the support of council, then I will ensure that that is completed this morning and sent to the school so they can get going on it. Because, as the Air Force had requested, they would like a timely response on this to be able to set it up. So, it will be good on that. So, thank you. Thank you all. It's a great project. Under 10.0 Engineering and Works, we have no hint today.
Sorry, just remind me of the time of that event. Do we know the time?
June the 6th.
Do we know the time of the day that the flyby is going to
happen? 1:50 p.m.
1:50 p.m.?
Yeah.
And that will be over Caledonia?
Yes, over the Sunday.
Right.
And it is an email that I sent out.
I know, but I just wanted you to remind me of the time so I could, maybe the gallery would want to be there.
They will have a flag raising just prior to the flyover, so the flag raising should be completed at 2 o'clock. It'll start at 1:50, and the flyover planned for 2. Should be quite impressive over Calvin. Add to their celebration and ceremony. Good. So we will move on. 10.0, as I stated, engineering and works. We have nothing today. Under finance, 11.1, we have a request from Queens Daycare Association for tax exemption status. Who would like to take the lead on that?
So moved that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to provide tax exemption for AANS 0337776 and 0491865, owned by Queens Daycare Association, for the 2019-20 taxation year.
Seconder to that motion? Councilor Fisk. And we have Director of Finance Jennifer Keating Hoopman here today. Jennifer, would you like to comment on this?
So anytime a municipal property is sold and taken ownership by a non-municipal or nonprofit or any other commercial property owner, the property then becomes taxable assessment in the hands of the new owner, whereas the Region of Queens is exempt from assessment values. So this request from the daycare, having assumed the purchase of the former Mount Pleasant School that went through, is going through in July. So there would be a prorated tax bill that would be forwarded to the daycare center. And the taxes for the year would be approximately $7,800, prorated to $5,900. And so they're looking, where this wasn't something that they had taken into consideration in preparing their budget this year, they're looking for the Council of the Region of Queens to forgive those property taxes for them this year.
Councilor McClellan?
Jennifer, just so that I understand how this exemption system works, I know every year we have a list of exempted properties that are not-for-profit or that qualify under that, under
charitable status or not-for-profit organizations.
So when they acquired this property, they were an association at that time? Not-for-profit?
Yes, they are considered not-for-profit, or we wouldn't have been able to sell them the property for a dollar.
Okay, so, but they were taxed? From that period
so
of
this
time.
Year's bill would be April 1st, 2019, forward to March 31st, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
They will take over ownership in July, and so there would be a prorated taxable assessment, which they would be responsible for from that date forward to March 31st, 2020. As a nonprofit organization, they're not exempt on the PVSC roll. Region of Queens as a municipality is.
Okay, so if any organization such as this one have to apply for exemption from us, or do we automatically do that because we know that they are not for profit?
They would have to apply to us. They would have to submit their request in writing to be considered under the tax exemption bylaw.
Oh, okay.
And we've already passed that for this year, for this fiscal year, because we have the two readings, February and March, for
okay,
second reading. And that's when we consider changing the list of properties that we do exempt from taxes on that tax exemption bylaw.
So that's why they're being charged that portion.
Yeah, that's why it's in between that listing coming to council.
Okay. So were they aware of that exemption process when they purchased the property?
To my knowledge, I don't know.
And that just closes July, so we're okay to July. There's no courts.
Right. It would be exempt in our hands or in our ownership until that time when it changes ownership, and then the bill would be prorated for this year. So I anticipate that they will forward their request to be included in or considered on the tax exemption bylaw next year.
Okay, and they'll be made known of that they can apply.
They will.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment on this issue? Councilor Johnson?
I just wondered, Jennifer, if this request is anything that's out of the ordinary, and this is something that's going to set precedent going forward with any policy that we have as a region, you know, it's going to have a negative impact.
Anytime a group such as this makes that request, there's always that consideration that you have to take into play is that there might be other associations that might look at this and then also come forward with that request next year. The difference with this daycare and others, to my knowledge now, is that they are a nonprofit association, so they have registered nonprofit status, and I don't know that another daycare would. So the nonprofit status is what would qualify them for this tax exemption bylaw, whereas others would be considered commercial.
That answers my question.
Okay. Any other councilor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I don't mean to labor the point, but this is just an administrative thing. I mean, simply because they couldn't have applied for it before when we actually did the exemption.
Because they wouldn't have had ownership of the property.
It was too early. This is the earliest that they could apply for it, so it's really just a time thing and an administration thing.
The consideration has to be made in between.
They're absolutely qualified for it and should get it.
Any other questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In your pad. 11.2, North Queens Medical Center Association funding request. And I believe Councillor Johnson, you had asked for this to be on the agenda today?
Yes, I did. And I like Mr. Warden, was a little bit confused with the process as to why it did not come forward with a cover letter like most requests do. But to that end, I'm not sure am I in a position where I can make a recommendation.
Not a motion today, but we can have the discussion.
Okay. So the discussion is that we need to get a motion. I think we need to get a motion on the table to help these folks fund their project to the tune of $35,000, which was the ask from the community investment funding that was refused based on a couple of observations. I gave my spiel at last council meeting in strong support of this organization and what it means to the community and what it means to the region of Queens as a whole. And whatever it takes, if it means another 2 weeks to make a decision or to get it in front of this group to have a vote on it, then so be it. 2 weeks is not going to, it's not life or death, but the project needs to move forward very quickly. And it's very fitting that this being accessibility week in Nova Scotia, and the condition of this parking lot certainly restricts people with mobility issues, whether it's a walker or a wheelchair or whatever, to access the medical center. And the fact that what we can do as a region of Queens to support doctor recruitment and the medical services. And as Mr. Warden said this morning, you know, it isn't just North Queens, it's all of Queens. It's 30, it's a work out of 33,000 patients there from four different counties, and still taking patients, by the way, you know, and to lose that in that community and lose that for the region of Queens, I don't think we can afford to sit by and not do something to support the group and put, you know, have them put their finances at risk to be able to have to close the doors. So I don't know where we go from here. If we get it on next council's agenda or whatever, I'm not sure. So anyway.
I appreciate your comments, Councillor Johnson. And the North Queens Medical Center is very important to Queens, and it is very well supported by the region of Queens and its council, I'm sure. There's no dispute of the importance and the service. The Community Investment Fund, as we're all aware, made a recommendation that due to surplus, it did not meet the criteria of that fund, and that, of course, was the reason it was not previously approved. So. Now we're looking at an issue of, if we can't use the community investment fund, what are our options going forward? So I would ask if there's any other councillors that would like to speak on this issue at this present time. Yes, Councillor Kerwin?
So is this not a motion, if we come back in 2 weeks with another motion, to re-examine the community investment fund? Or are you talking from a totally different...
There could be many options coming forward from this discussion today.
Okay.
And that's,
so that
I think, what council needs to explore is what are the options and what is the right issue to do in cooperation.
So will that come back to us as a staff report? Do we need to request that? Or are you expecting us to come up with where that's from? And I see Jennifer has her hand.
Yes, and I can defer to Jennifer to give us some updating and thoughts on this.
So, yes, the budget has been complete. So without accessing the Community Investment Fund, council needs to consider from what area of the budget this money would come from. We don't have a surplus to that extent when we created the budget this year. So having the budget been complete at this point, that's the other piece. We need to know what other areas of the budget would not be spent this year in order to afford to consider this request for funding. My only reference point around this would be Hillsview Acres. And I did notice that on the Nova Scotia District Health Authority website that the medical center is listed as a location. And so I'm wondering if there is an opportunity, as you mentioned, Gilda, there's accessibility is a big thing now, there's an accessibility fund. If there is an opportunity, being a location or being associated with the District Health Authority, that there is an opportunity for a funding source through accessibility or through the province, through the health authority. Because something of this nature, for instance, for Hillsview Acres, would not come back to council or affect the tax rate for council. They would be afforded the option to put in a request for or apply for funding from the District Health Authority because their budget is fully funded. And I just wondered if that was an option that had been explored at any point.
I have no idea, but I think that the authority on that sits behind. Who could answer that question if he's allowed?
I will allow that at this point.
I have to say at this point that we haven't
explored
that because we were not aware that it was accessible.
Yeah, because many of the points you've noted as being problems for the paving area and for the parking lot would fall under accessibility, and then you have the EFR fund through the District Health Authority where you can put in, even though it wasn't a budgeted item prior to, that you can put in a request for like an emergency fund request, and I think that accessibility would fall under that. So for instance, like I said, for Hillsview Acres, if this was the situation of Hillsview Acres, it wouldn't be a tax rated fund, it would be something we would look to Department of Health to fund for Hillsview. Go to the District Health Authority, yes. Yeah.
Councilor Goodbye.
Is it possible for us to provide that assistance with the medical center, maybe meeting with Jennifer and get an understanding of how this works? Because it's a program, funding program that, I mean, we can speak today, but I need to get into the nitty gritty of it. Can you provide that service to the medical center?
Well, I certainly have a template for applying to that fund, and I have a number of contact people and email addresses. Whether the people we deal through for residential care would be the same, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they could probably point me in the right direction. So I'm sure I could get some contact information and some templates.
Any other council? Councilor Clancy?
I think one thing that we've discussed at the beginning of this whole thing is that Community Investment Fund, I think it's a fantastic thing that's been developed. I think it's raw, and that's the part of it.
Work in progress.
Yes, that's right. It's a work in progress. And maybe one thing we need to revisit with that is to be able to say, if people make applications, if this fund's within, to explain what you're doing with the funds. Because, again, with people who are doing this, you know, like people are sitting down and saying, well, they got this much money, they don't need it. Well, if you don't explain, then you don't understand. So that's something I think there needs to be an explanation put out to the people, because there's other people who have had the same problem of not fully understanding. They just brought up their financials and they didn't say, well, what are we going to buy this year, or how this money is all going to be taken away, so we really don't have the money. So, but when you're looking at it from the group sitting down, they don't have that information. So that's something maybe it needs to be, as we look back at the community development grant, people be able to say, you need this, maybe this is part of the form. It's going to have to change or whatever it is, so people will understand. So, because now we're past it, and we might have said, well, yes, we could have done this, but again,
it's a
work process.
Not necessarily does a large bank balance mean that hasn't already been allotted to other items.
Absolutely.
Throughout the year to cover the budget. It's true. It may be something that we have to look at, looking for additional explanation or details to be provided with the application, so that staff that are looking at those applications have kind of a full picture to make their decisions.
Yes.
Sure.
Councilor Pence?
I'm quite aware of the capital funding that is available with the Nova Scotia Health Authorities departments, and it is a there is a route to take on that, and I think Jennifer will provide that for the for Mr. Ward and the medical center. And by me saying that, I want to also say that I'm all for anything we can do to help out the medical center, as long as it's understood how the funding goes. But I really think that the route right now would be to approach the province and see if they can get there.
Any other counselor?
May I just add one thing? Mr. Ward, I want to thank you for the talk this morning and very understanding that it's very important building and medical center to have in North Queens. They're quite a ways out, and they're very, very strong organization, and they've helped out the community and other communities throughout the years that it's been opened. And I just hope that they're very successful in the future and endeavors to get things completed for them. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilor Taylor?
I just wanted to go back to the Community Investment Fund. So we're saying right now that there's no appeal process with that? Is that correct? So for anybody that's in this situation, and if they come back and explain, and that's one of the things that we talked about previously, was that ability to let them explain what their bank balance is all about. And so they've come back and explained it, and this is a great option, but if that option doesn't work, we're saying that we've totally shut down that route through the investment fund. Is that correct?
CAO?
What we're saying is that council has adopted a policy, right, with very clear rules and regulations. Staff have implemented that policy, right, according to the rules and regulations in the policy, brought forth their recommendations. Council has the option to accept or reject those recommendations. In this particular case, council has accepted the recommendations. If council wishes to reject those recommendations, contrary to what the policy says, then that's a decision that council has to make about probably amending the policy. Right. But I would suggest if you wish to amend the policy that takes out the factor of financial need, then you go back to the old policy we used to have, which is the situation. And so there's lots of organizations that have applied. There's probably like 40. Most of them don't have a financial need. They've applied because they've been encouraged to apply.
Right.
And so if you take away that requirement for financial need, then every one of them would be eligible, and that pot would disappear within 10 minutes. And then people would continue to pad their bank accounts at the expense of taxpayers and actually didn't actually need the funding. The initial purpose and reason and rationale for this program was to help those projects that normally wouldn't get funding, that have a great need, do a great project, that are advanced recreation projects, but fix up their facilities so the municipality is now doing programs everywhere, because we acknowledge we have the resources to do that. And to allow them to continue to operate, provide recreational services or infrastructure in their community, to provide new programs or infrastructure in their facilities or in their individual communities. And so we get requests all the time for different things, and the comment was made about talking to people. I can assure you our staff talk to these organizations all the time. We send out letters, we talk to them. We've had 40 applications this year. That's essentially a full-time staff member that we're going to need if we're going to do that on a regular basis. But we talk to them all, whether it's by email or letter, phone calls, and you can call, talk to people, and you get an answer, and then you got to put it in writing because they misunderstand it. It's not a simple process. It's been very onerous on our staff this year to implement this. But if council, at the end of the day, council makes a decision. So there's no need for an appeal mechanism because council makes a decision.
Okay, so just to follow up on that, the Community Investment Fund is out of the picture based on the way it reads today. It's part of the policy. We all know the need, the importance of this particular request. So if that does not work, what Jennifer's suggesting, are there other options? I guess we're just not aware of what other options are available within the municipality for that. So is there another route we could travel if that doesn't work?
And there's no guidebook that says
no.
Things, but certainly at Queens General, they have a foundation that provides most of the funding. North Queens is a foundation, so if the foundation in North Queens has been approached, they have financial resources to contribute to it. Have they approached the Queens General Hospital Foundation? I know they provide funding to North Queens on occasion, so they have been approached for funding. Has the Nova Scotia Health Authority been approached, as Jennifer said, about emergency funding or additional funding? Are there options for, I haven't seen the parking lot lately, but can you, I know when they applied under the Community Investment Fund, they applied, there was two quotes. One was for a complete overhaul, one was to repair the issues that were there. And so is there a way to lessen that amount that's there? And so it's up for the community to decide what they want to put forward. They put forward a complete repave, and that's their decision, and I respect that. And at the end of the day, if council decides to do it, then staff will find the money. They'll have to come out of a reserve somewhere. Or it'll be an unfunded liability, which pushes that risk at the end of the year to be in a deficit position, because we do have some other budget pressures this year. But council has that prerogative if council wishes to do that. But I can assure you that if an application isn't eligible under the Community Investment Fund, and all of a sudden council then approves it under take it out of reserves or something, you're going to have Queen's daycare here at the door next, because they were refused, and we're unhappy with the decision, because they have significant financial resources as well. And then potentially in the future, organizations, they will not apply to the Community Investment Fund because it has rules and regulations, it'll simply come directly to council. So that's SAF's concern about. So like I said, there's lots of opportunities. It's a matter of where the money is, and I'm not sure where the money is because I haven't looked at it.
Thank you for the explanation.
Councilor Johnson, do you have a follow-up?
Well, I have a couple of things, and I have a concern about what I just heard. Let's deal with the North Queens Medical Center first. All of a sudden, we got all kinds of options to these folks that nobody spoke to them about. Had they explored this, had they explored that, which I would think us being the experts on the financial side of it and knowing where these pieces are, that could be a courtesy phone call to help these folks navigate all those different options. And I know that in the past, the foundation, whether you think they have a lot of money in North Queens, do not. They do give an annual amount. And the fact that Nova Scotia Health Authority give absolutely zero, other than paying the docs, who in turn have to pay rent for that facility and maintain that. And I think you'd have to walk in the shoes of people who have to navigate that parking lot to truly understand the condition that it's in. And the more elderly people, Peter and I included, who run into the planters is not a good thing. Anyway, to that end, if there's options and staff will work with the medical center to explore all those different options, then I think that's how we move forward, but we should not be in a position where we're going to delay helping get this project underway. The other thing that concerns me goes back to the Community Investment Fund that I had heard on one hand that we're all open, it's a work in progress and all this stuff, where I hear the CAO say, no, it's a closed book because we as council have approved it and we can't go back in and look at it and massage it to make it right, to make it better. We don't have to go back to the start, to the old process. We can take what we have and find a way to make it better, to fit some of the needs of these other people. And I totally agree. If people have been refused funding from the Community Investment Fund and have not had the courtesy of a phone call and an understanding of the financial situation, the way that the medical center has come forward, then they have the right to come back here and ask that question, because we as a council might have approved a policy to try and learn how to make it better for the people in Queens, and we have to be able to pull this all together, and that's what we're here for. We're here to make these policies work, not just to slam the door and say no on what I call essential services. Medical centers, daycare, especially not-for-profits. So those are my concerns, and I think what we need to do is work on this particular case. Staff work with the medical center, exploring options, and navigating the Nova Scotia Health Authority is no more easier than navigating the region of Queens itself.
Thank you, Thomas. Councilor Fancy?
There's a lot of discussion here on what, and approach going forward. I think, again, like we said, the Community Investment Fund is a great thing, and I think it's great to where we go. Where we were was terrible. It was like pulling a rabbit out of the hat, trying to figure out what we were doing. But there were, as the follow-up, a couple things that Councilor Johnson said. I know I talked with Donna Dexter with the daycare, and I said we were going to be voting on this on Tuesday, and she said, I didn't know I was rejected. So there was a communication gap that she didn't even know that she was going to be rejected. Anyway, that's what she told me. She was or wasn't, that's all I can do is tell you. So that's why she came here that day. So again, we've got to get that communication out there that what's going on. It's a work in progress. We're learning as we go, and I still think it's a great program. And the other part is again, we'll just take this instance with the community community health. We say, are we encouraging people to call in to ask, or do we have the time? Because our staff is all tied up, right? So I mean, our staff is tied up, but they need to have direction. So do we say we'd like you to call, or are we saying we can't get everybody calling because God is crazy? So that becomes the issue where if they've got the information, we may not be here today.
Sue?
Mr. Chairman, it's unfair to suggest that all the people that have been applying haven't been contacted. It's unfair to say that Ms. Dexter was not aware that she was turned down for funding because she wasn't. That's why she was in the gallery. Every one of these applicants have had discussions, whether it's verbal, whether it's email, whether it's in writing about their applications, what's required in order to fulfill the requirements of the policy. They've all been notified when they apply in a reasonable amount of time as to why they're not eligible. All that stuff's been explained multiple times. As I said, there's like 40 applications this year, and if the program continues as it is, we're going to hire another full-time staff person just to deal with the applications and deal with the email. So no one has been denied the information. No one has been denied access to the criteria or why they were denied or why they didn't fit the criteria. But it's unrealistic to expect our staff to explain to people that you're not eligible, you didn't meet the criteria, but here's this program, here's that program, have you considered this, have you reworded this? It's unfair for us to do that. We'll have to hire one or two extra staff just to do that because, and so the medical center, I mean, I just thought of those things off the top of my head here today. And so it's not our staff that are going to potentially be aware of all those potential options and all those things. And so if an organization comes forward to us and says, we're looking for some funding, can you help us? Absolutely, we will. But we're not going to stick our nose in another nonprofit group's business and say, well, you didn't get eligible. We think you should do this. Because what's going to happen is if not eligible or don't find funding, they're going to blame us for wasting their time. If groups want to come forward, certainly we'll support them, we'll help them, but we're not going to go out and approach them and get involved with their business because it's really none of our business, but if they approach us, certainly we'll help.
Okay.
Councilor McLeod?
The municipality is doing something very unique with these types of funding programs for the community. It is an investment in our community, and I feel proud that we have the resources within our finances to do that. And I think it's running well. I think a little bit of tweaking, but I really feel that our community should appreciate the fact that we do offer this funding available to them, and it's provided a lot of opportunities for organizations to get off the ground with new projects to help support their funding needs, and I just thought I'd make that comment.
Yeah.
And just one follow-up. It is a new policy. So it's the only one in Nova Scotia I'm aware of. It was built from scratch. We didn't copy or paste this from anywhere. And there will be some tweaks. I know staff have heard some concerns about some groups that have applied about don't understand this, don't understand that. So later in the fall or before the next budget year, there will be some recommendations from staff to make some tweaks. None of them are substantial. None of them are going to change the overall criteria of the policy. But some of the administrative stuff and some of the other stuff will come forth. And at that time, council will have an opportunity. If council wants to amend the policy and change it significantly, the council will have the opportunity to do that come this fall or in the winter to when the review comes forward for the other tweaks that staff will bring forward.
From the discussion, I believe every member of council is in agreement with me that North Queens medical services are important, that there are solutions and there are options. And I would certainly be willing, if Councillor Johnson is willing, to sit down next week and have a meeting with some representatives of the North Queens Medical Society, if Mr. Warden is welcome to do that, and in agreement. And then perhaps we could flush this out and perhaps come forward with some solutions that will work in North Queens for this issue. And I think that would be very helpful. We could pull in a couple of staff and provide some other options that may be considered between now and then, and get this on the track where it needs to go. Would you be in agreement with that, Mr. Ward?
Yes, thank you very much.
And Councilor Johnson?
Certainly. Yeah.
So I will follow up with the CAO and see what we have for available time next week, and we will be in touch with you this week to see if we can arrange that date and time. So that would be helpful. So on that basis, we have moving forward a discussion that hopefully will lead to the solution that's required. Are there any other comments of councillors on this today? Councillor Fisk?
I just want to make one comment, publicly a little bit here, that the community funding process and the staffing that was involved, they worked very hard to get the process started and to implement the program in the best way possible. And I'm sure it was passed by the CAO for his final approval. So I think the staff deserves a lot of credit for so far what they've done for that program and further on. I just want you to know I have total respect for our staff.
And thank you for that, Councillor Fisk. I would agree that the staff worked hard on those applications and making the decisions and recommendations, and it is not an easy job. But certainly, they're doing their best, and that's all we can ask for in this process. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you all. We will move on to 12.0.